basically God told Moses that, you know, you will build a tabernacle and you will dress the priests in these certain garments, and one of these garments will include a breastplate that will have 12 stones in it, each one of the stones representing one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And in the Casey Project, that was just kind of where I left it. And then little by little, people began, just out of the blue or whatever, coincidence, synchronicity, if you will, began giving me information about this thing called the Urim and Thummim, which is basically something that was sitting behind the breastplate of the priest. And it is speculated that they could have been stones. And so the priest would reach behind the breastplate. If he needed to speak with God, you know, the priest would go before the Holy of Holies once a year in the tabernacle. And but other than that, if it wasn't that annual pilgrimage to the tabernacle, sometimes they needed to speak with the Creator. So they would basically ask a question, and they would reach behind the breastplate and pull out one of, supposedly, okay, this is all up for speculation and scholarly debate, but they would reach in, and if they pulled out a certain one, then it would answer yes, and if they pulled out the other one, it would answer no. So it was basically some kind of a binary tool or process that the priest used to get a clear answer from the Creator. And then that gets into another whole debate, like is it really a device? And in my book, I'm going to say, just because I want to talk about stones and minerals, I guess I believe that it was maybe two stones or something like that, because the breastplate was already made of stones. But some other scholars surmise that perhaps it could have just been a process, that Urim and Thummim could have been a term used to describe going to speak with God.
All right, and explain that term again, just so people understand it. We don't say it too fast, and it just kind of gets swept away, because it's key on that, and anybody can search for it in their Bible, and it's there.
Yes, this is called the Urim, which is U-R-I-M, and Thummim, which is T-H-U-M-M-I-M, and this is from...
In English, right.
In Hebrew English.
Right, it translated... not transliterated into English, it's Urim and Thummim, just like we would think it is. And so that, and those were very specific things.
They believe that they were, yes, that they would have been perhaps a couple of stones, crystals, stones, minerals, that the priest used to speak with the Creator. And where people can also learn about this is if they've read the book called The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name correctly.
I think you are, as far as I'm concerned. I declare it pronounced correctly.
Thank you. This is a beautiful biblical allegory, this book, and it's about a shepherd who travels to Egypt in search of his lost treasure, which is kind of what we're talking about when we take people into the future. He's searching for his purpose. And he runs across a king who wears a breastplate, who hands him the Urim and Thummim and says, if you get into trouble and if you really are in a situation, then use these and they will give you the answers that you seek, you know. And so he uses them during a couple of critical moments in the book, and everything. It's a wonderful book. And so I was given the book. And a little visual, I don't know, like I sometimes see little visions. Something just washed over me. I saw this book with a pink cover, and I said, wow, I'm supposed to write about this, you know. And then sure enough, my publisher ended up putting a pinkish-purple cover on the thing.
Did, indeed. And then there's other way, this breastplate idea that the priests would, after they were ritually washed and then dressed, would then don that this breastplate that had, you said, stones in the front as well, that there's almost a model. You could almost kind of follow a design for that based on descriptions in the Bible.
Yes, there is an actual description in Exodus 28:17 that lists the four rows and the stones that are in each one of those four rows. And then there was apparently some onyx that were engraved, and they were worn on their shoulders as well, that apparently had Hebrew letters in them.
Have you priced how much it would cost to make one of those?
I know that when I was writing the Casey book, there's a whole ball of wax that you get into interpreting the stones that are in the breastplate. In the new book, Divination of God, I go ahead and I go with the stones that are listed in the King James Version of the Bible. But in the Casey book, I get into some of the scholarly debate that goes on, because geologically and geographically, they don't really know for sure what the true identity of these stones are because of translation and different things. And so I ended up contacting the Temple Institute in Jerusalem to ask them. I did a lot of research on what different groups were saying the identity of the stones were, and I really liked what they had to say. And I, on their website, if people look up, if you just Google, like, the Temple Institute, you can get on there and you'll see a picture of their recreation of the breastplate.
I wonder how much it cost them. And I wonder how much it would cost any of us to have one made and actually try using it.
They claim it. They took years, you know, to build this thing and donations, and I don't know. It may be on there.
Some of the stones that are mentioned don't sound like they'd be that expensive. Some of them are, obviously, but others of the ones that you list in the book, Divination of God, don't appear to be that much. So, I mean, I think you could, theoretically, you could build such a thing. And I was intrigued by the idea that some people claim that for a yes or a no answer from God, it wasn't just which stone you might have picked, but also how stones would have lit up.
Yeah, there's some debate as to maybe they illuminated, and maybe the onyx on the shoulders, they potentially also illuminated with different letters in the Hebrew alphabet that they would use for divinatory purposes.
So it would be, one would light up to mean yes, and the other would light up to mean no if you asked a yes or no question of God.
Correct.
Wow. I mean, it's a fascinating idea. I'd love, wouldn't it be cool if somebody built one?
It would be really cool. In fact, Edgar Casey did a lot of readings on this in his lifetime, and there was a woman who went to Edgar Casey to ask if such a machine could be built. And he basically told her, you know, hey, the process is more important than the machine itself.
Well, and I think that's all very mystical and all, and I think that there's some truth to that. But if you could build it, I mean, it would seem worth it to do that. And then if in the end the process was more important, that's fine. But gosh, who knows until you build it whether or not it would actually work?